Nā reira, te mihi ki a koutou katoa. It is my honour today to introduce you to Robert Eruera, who is the Pōkōkiri Tonga Tukui Hō Māori, or the Senior Curator Māori at Auckland Libraries.
Tēnā nō tātou. Tēnā nō tātou I tēnei pākarangarangai o tēnei manu e tau e tai ana ko tūrei te ana kei wenganui a koutou rā. Nā rea koro ki ana ta ōkone koro koro. Kai roto I te pāhu mai ana te mihi atu ki a koutou ni ke taipai ai ana koutou ni kei roto I tēnei whare o tāmaki pātaka kōrito. Ako rungurungu nei ana ki tēnā manu ti ore ore mai ana te kāranga atu ki te tau mai ana o tēnei tangata ke tū I wenganui a koutou ni tēnei rā. Nā reire e tikana rā, ke tāhure ana, te tētahi atu ngā o ngā rata no te waoku o tāne nui a rangi ke mehi atu ki a ia, ka nui te mehi I te tuahine. Greetings everyone. I just apologise for my tardiness in arrival. I'm used to that. Ko tai atu kei roto I te ara tākina mai o te weirua. Nā hua anō e whairapuhi ana he huarahi mōku, ke tu wā te ana te huarahi mōku nei tēnei wā. I was busy trying to find something interesting to add to this presentation. What I'm about to talk about is not following the general line of politics about who owns what or any intellectual stimulants. So if you arrive to be stimulated intellectually, I'm sorry, you're going to be dismally disappointed. This is about taonga in the sense of relaying across cultural and all boundaries. The similarities that everyone has with taonga in the sense of treasures and what they consider to be have treasures. I approach it from sentiment, in emotional, and how you create a relationship with the taonga that belongs to your tupuna or your ancestor. And how many wars you get amongst your brothers and sisters. No, Nan said I can have that. This belongs to me, and you shouldn't be considering to have it. It has already been said that it belongs to me. So that type of connection, the emotive connection to taonga, is what I have with the taonga that I deal with in that sense. Of course, I have to present myself in a professional manner for the organisation, but also for Māoridom itself. And it's hard to represent the whole of Māoridom when you're dealing with all the taonga that belong to so many different people. How are you able to do that when it's in this repository and not within the kaitiakitanga or the kapurunga or wetahi atu, me ngā hapu, me ngā whānau? And the story of it coming here and being here is part of the background of taonga for me. I'm so glad that the taonga is still here. I'm not concerned about arguing who it belongs to. I'm concerned in the sense of being a librarian is access, for uri to have access to it. In my earlier days, I did question that when I worked at the museum looking at taonga, and I opened the cupboards. At that time, they didn't have all these nice kind of cupboards. You open these cupboards and there's tokotokos, walking sticks and taiahas by, 20s, 30s, just hanging there, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And the impact of opening that, because they used to have these closets that you open like this and they're just all stacked up there, hanging with a string around it, and all, I don't know now. I know that a lot of that has changed. But the impact of the mass of taonga that was sitting there, and I was 26 when I worked at the museum, and I was placed into that position by the elders. Don't know why they selected me. In the sense of that. It wasn't because of my education, because I didn't start the education. But some of my uncles were quite big guns, what we call. in the sense of Māoridom. And they said, no boy, you're the one to go in there and do it. So it was a kind of a different world for me in the sense of entering that. But seeing that taonga and thinking, why are you here? And asking that question personally. First thinking, you should go home. You should go to the people. Was my first interaction, which is normal, right? And seeing them all there. And as time gradually moved over, I kept asking that question. And within a month, it needed to settle me in a month, I came to the conclusion that the taonga was there for a purpose, still in this aisle, and it's still accessible by our people, even though it's not been, it was its journey. And its journey still continues on, like the taonga here. The journey is still going on. And my little piece in it, compared to all those before me, with the taonga, my little contribution, if any, to the journey of the taonga and the different taonga. And other people have different parts to play to contribute to it, possibly for repatriation or other areas of agreements between organisations of moving it to a repository closer to the descendants. I don't know. These are journeys to be taken by others. So I start from, move that to side, that's all the politics to the side, and the taonga in the sense. Now, I ran around just a few minutes ago snapping all these photos so that you can see the impact of the taonga that is present here. These are duplicate or surrogate copies. Before you were able to access the originals. This here is the New Zealand Māori collection. There are a number of collections. This collection is a collection that continues to grow, and its basis of it is te reo Māori. So we have it's bilingual also. So it's coming from the early period of time from 1815, which was the first publication. But that's not in this collection. It's in the Great New Zealand collection, which does not grow unless it was once a book that was in Gray's collection, the New Zealand Gray's New Zealand Māori collection. But this one continues to grow because its criteria is Māori language. So everything that's printed in my area, which I love the most, is children's literatures and children's readers. Because they're colourful, and I like comics, and so I like pictures. And you'll see the journey of it from the early publications, which are all biblical texts, all early biblical texts. And some of it captures our reo, and they're from different areas and regions. So the importance of this collection is a documentation of the reo at that time. What you were looking at was manuscripts. This moves to the next stage of publication. Our organisation has a collection management. Its collection management policy is divides the collection into certain criteria in the sense of manuscript, publication, photographs, ephemera, and maps. Usually manuscripts goes up there, but you know, the order can be switched around from moving, but usually it moves from manuscripts to publication. Photographs, our photograph collection is extensive, but I'll stay on this journey. Next, please, thank you. Gray's New Zealand Māori. So that's our little code for us, as we know it, Gray's New Zealand Māori. And Gray contributed to a collection, to this collection is quite astounding for early printed Māori literature. So we're quite fortunate to have, because he loved to collect first publications, not only of Māori but through the Pacific, through even Aboriginal material, American, First Nations people. And he, in that sense, he liked to collect the first publications. Of course, most of them are biblical texts in the sense of creating the Bible and because of missionary, but they still have great significance. We got these large Bibles in Tahiti and Tonga and Samoa, and you know it, and that's, you know, the variety of it. And just recently at the conference of the librarians, Indigenous librarians, some Hawaiians came down and had a look at certain material that we had, and they're like, oh no, we don't want to touch that, you know, that type of approach, that you can turn the page, you know. So, and the language and capturing the language is really important. Next, please. Phil. The interesting thing is that, would anybody know who Lord Petini? Would anybody know who this is? Guess what? He's Robinson Crusoe. And Robinson Crusoe in Māori was one of the earliest publications for children's literature. And this is the illustration within their publication. Apparently Māori didn't take to it very kindly because the message was, you know, becoming a savage. And they thought, what? We already are. But, you know, so it kind of sent a different message to them. But it's sure better than Pilgrim's Progress, which was also at the same time, oh, what a horrific thing. In Māori, it's even more terrible, you know, because I don't understand it. And apparently it was very difficult to read anyway, you know, in English. So just imagine having it in Māori. Next, please. Robinson Crusoe was published in 1852. So it was quite early on, you know, in the sense of after the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi. And most people don't know that Māori were quite prolific at reading at that time, and quite a number of them were quite prolific in writing. Here you go. And because the collection continues to grow, we've got Ngā Mōre Tiatia. It's interesting the change of technology and the development of technology. When Peter Hurinui Jones and Ngata first did that, there wasn't a compact CD that you could listen to in it. So this is the version, you know, with the CD in it for you to be able ki te hakarongo mai ana ki ngā waiata. So with the technology, and I'm showing this because this is the continuation of the New Zealand Māori collection. So everything else is going into there. Anything that else that doesn't have predominantly a strong Māori language component in it, or a certain percentage, will go into the New Zealand Pacific collection. So that's where it's moved to, but the language ones are mostly put in here. Of course, this is Grace, Ngā Mahi, Ngā Tupuna, which is moved, which he took from the manuscripts that Grace shelves now, and published some of the traditions. The interesting thing about Grey was Grey was the first one to record also the Hinamoa and Tutanekai story. So it's quite an interesting, and he put in his little notebook, you can hardly read it, it's like chicken scratches. So, and he actually published the Hinamoa and Tutanekai story. So he was the first to gather it and to write it, and then it's traveled along its journey. Talking about the changing of technology, look, who remembers those frisbees, those records, you know, the 33 long player, they used to call it. And there you've got the CD, and there's the translation of Bruce Biggs's, which was done by Cleve Barlow. He translated it into Māori, establishing. And he uses double vowels, also, which is what Clive Barlow and Tai Nui tend to like to follow, is using the double, writing the double vowels rather than putting a portai on. Hatless, we call it without a hat, take your hat off. And within there, Clive Barlow also followed that procedure. The interesting thing is that these developments of technology and leading today with digitization and being able to access this material, it's taken a full journey. You know, you've gone back to oral, being able to listen, being able to hear, being able to see it. So it's funny how come it's gone into the written form, which is quite stagnant, and going back to the oral with the technology that you're able to visually see it and hear it. So I find that very interesting in the sense of, I don't hear people discussing that it's actually kind of full circle. They debate about how it gets there. They debate about the purity of it, whether it has the Māori, whether it has the life it's passed from one elder to others, which is the part that is kind of missing in the sense of how Māori look at it, because when it comes from a person, it is also passed with the breath, with the manawa, with the hau. And so, and you listen with the taringa o tō ngākau. I remember my grandfather telling me off when I got a pencil. Okay, I'm not talking to you. It's my own grandfather. I'm not talking to you until you put that pene rākau away. I go, why? I can't remember everything you say. He said, well, if you can't remember it, then it's not for you, boy. So from pangātu ana te pene ki te taha. The pen away. And that's why he said, and I questioned him in the sense of, why? Why? He said, no, you've got to grab it in here. And that's the first time I heard that expression. E mau, e hopunga ana, I ngā taringa o te ngākau. You catch it with the ears of your heart. Biologically, that's impossible, but it's metaphoric and it's supposed to be very deep in the sense of wairua. And when I say that to some of my nephews, they go, ugh, uncle. I say, it's either you listen with your ears of your heart or I'm going to go and punch your ears. Koi nana kia, pakea na tō taringa. So, which is not appropriate in this time and age. But that's when I was younger. So next, please. Everyone remembers the wharekura. Well, some of us. So, te tautoko and all the early education things. We collect these series, and we have a full set as they're continued on to be published. And of course, I put that one number 8 because it's from the Nota, so that's why, because I'm from there. So I this is the reprint, the actual, because I wanted that pattern. That's why. So the this is an 81 version of it. The actual version of this, its cover's not so good. So I thought, oh, it looks prettier. So just in case somebody knows, oh, that's not, that's a reprint. I thought I'd beat you to the gun just in case you're clever. So the other one was printed in 64. So that was printed in 1964. The first one was 1960. That's right. A day after, a year after, before I was born. So that thing's older than me. Yeah. So koe nana te ahuatanga. And the richness of us, is there another one with Hau Taiwa, the kōrero? Can I have a look, please? There he is. There's Hau Taiwa with no pants on. ko kirikau ana, ko tahana ana, tō ātana āhuatanga, tā wera ana te ure, and pinana te āhuatanga. These are jokes for Māoris. You're saying things are swinging around. So this is Hauhautaua. But the beauty of this is not only the illustrator, but also the kaikōrero, Motukapa. Motukapa was a reverend amongst the Te Aupouri people, Reverend Motukapa, and also a recognised leader of the people of Te Aupouri, and also of the Tainui people, because they have marriage links there. So, and the reo, the mita, we don't use mita, the te tangi o te reo, te rangi hoki o te reo, te oro o te reo. Kei takotoi e kei roti ngā whārangi. So it's beautiful, and it captures that reo from that specific people. So this is the beauty of the reo collection. And most people don't use this collection, let alone the manuscripts and the language and the beauty and within their own regions. And it's, in some sense, it's not because of the failure of our marketing. We are constantly marketing, putting it out there. Like, before you come in here, you can see the centenary of Waitangi. New images that we have attained through the glass plates. There's amazing stories in there. 100 years ago of the Treaty of Waitangi. Still saying the same things. Hey, you're not consulting with us, we want to be in the decision making. So that it all comes back, that's what they're saying, eh? We're supposed to be consulting so we can make decisions together. And some use it and say, well, you didn't listen to us, and now we got the worst statistics in New Zealand because we want to do it our way for our people. So some are using it like that in the political sense. And also on exhibit is the other manuscripts, in the sense of we actually have a handwritten copy of the Whakaputanga by the same person who drafted it up in our collection. Of course, it's not the signed one, but that, you know. And we also have a copy of the treaty, drafted by the same person who drafted the treaty, but it was given to somebody else, and it's in their collection. So, and there being on exhibit at the moment, the original is in the reading room, because we can't move it out into for preservation and conservation reasons. So the wow factor for me is that nobody pays attention to them, and I think, there's a lot of talk about these things. But, you know, for me, I actually around it and I can see it and I think, wow, man. And handling these things that all these people are talking about, you're handling the same items, or it was, that's that connection between the taonga. You know, what academics call intangible relationships, or, you know, it's not concrete. Kaka. So, koinana te āhuatanga, kei roto ia mātuni. The thing is, how do you transfer, these are all the other aspects of the collections, is how do you transfer it over? Do you have the copyright? How do you get that if you wanted to, you know? Or has somebody else already done it so we don't have to do it? So those are all the things that librarians think. But we've got heaps of things sitting there that still need to have those discussions. Now, ephemera, which is another part of the collection. What the heck is ephemera? It's all those knickknacks that you usually just throw away, like your tickets to your concerts. Well, people don't do that anymore. Posters, programs, cards, Christmas cards, Those are all what they call ephemera. So my colleague, Annette, created these. These are because there are a lot of, because for preservation and conservation, she calls it mini-me's. So instead of bringing out these big posters, and we'll have to go through and lift up these big envelopes and pull posters out, Annette came up with this idea to make short, like, postcards of it, so that, and the students come in because they got to do their assignments. So they can take them and photocopy them for them for to put into the assignments in there. So they like those little pictures, so they've got a small picture, you know, and do their essays or assignments. They can accommodate it. This was a meeting at Karioi, horse racing, Maori horse racing. I mean, of course you can see in, oh no you can't, 1870. But the interesting thing and the funny thing of it is the kind of things they say. Like the rules of the races. Don't bring any drink to these races. Men who have taken much drink will not be allowed on this course. If any man disobeys this rule, he will bring the whip of the clump down on him. if you don't know where Karioi is, it's just out of Raglan, yeah. So, no girls will be allowed to ride as jockeys in these races. Jockeys must wear trousers in all events. Now that's quite funny, eh? So, to think, you know, that they were racing, they had their own races. But this is a nice name. Then the secretary was Miss Harihari. So, somebody's too put in us, you know, and what they did. But she's got a nice name, Harihari. In this, people, you know, the opening of this is the significance of what one considers to be a treasure is definitely a personal measure, and said to be in the eyes of the beholder. These are just some of the things, not the main and real important things that others may have considered that, you know, but they're so significant. Oh, here's the funny part. See, spot. But you're going to love this, you know. It's been translated into Māori by Eric Hall. And the other one I like, and my colleague Ian Snowden saw me on the trolley. He said, oh, you've got our favourite out. Can I have a look at the next one, please? Oh, where's it gone? Where's Pingy Pingy P? There you go. So I'd like to finish it in that sense, say, you know, the birthday of Buzzy Bee. And, you know, Buzzy Bee, I can't catch you. So, you know, Kuine ana te ahua tanga. And extending those boundaries, and others question, what would you consider to be taonga? What would you consider to be Māori? These crossing all these boundaries in that sense. Sure, there are books that in Māori, by Māori authors, have a Māori, Māori designed. They're all gracing the shelves too. But I like the humour of it, you know. And we can't afford to be too serious all the time. So, ka nui atu te mihi atu ki a koutou nei. Ke pai rapu hi ana ngā mea e ki anō koutou nei karu, me o koutou nei tāringo te ngā kou. Ka nui atu te mihi ki a koutou nei. Wai ho hanga atu kei wai ngā nui a koutou nei. I raro i te manaakitanga o tā mātou nei mātua tūpuna me te wairua tika, te wairua puno e ārahi mai ana koutou nei. Tēnā nō tātou, tēnā nō tātou, tēnā nō tātou katoa. Kia ora, people. Thank you.